broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 Anajar and Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jacks with Brent Martineau.
It was so bad and so dysfunctional last year, it's almost unfair to look at the numbers on the field. I actually look at the whole picture of Trevor Lawrence and what he was able to do from a leadership standpoint and hold that thing together and not crack under the pressure with a head coach who did not know what he was doing and was not doing the right thing off the field. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a cop-out, but I do think he's going to be a superstar, and I think Doug Peterson will get him there. You know, I don't think this is a team that's going to do what the Bengals did, go from last to the Super Bowl, but I do think they will be playing meaningful football and December and probably get close to that 500 or just over 500 mark and set the stage for a team that has good talent, a really good coach, and I think a generational quarterback.
That's Tony Vaselli. I don't know where he was on. Maybe NFL Network?
No. I'll tell you where he was. He was on KJM, the best sports morning show in Jacksonville, baby.
Baby.
Tell baby. You what?
Man, you should have told me about that. I would have tweeted that out against somebody else I know.
Didn't know until right now, Brent. Unfortunately.
I did.
No, I didn't know.
That's good. Tony Vaselli on KJM this morning on ESPN 690.
Yeah, into morning time.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I like it. I'm glad you caught that, and I'm glad he was talking Trevor, because I had a thought watching the Jags arrive last night. I was just talking about this whole autograph scene. And I'll bring it up in just a moment. Brent Martineau here in Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame week. We've got a football game tonight, Raiders and the Jags. How many will play? How long will they play? What kind of impact? What will we learn from this game? I think there's a lot to kind of see. I'm intrigued by that because I don't feel like we have a good idea of what's going on. And my theory the whole time is as you get closer to game time, the less and less likely the bigger name players will play. I just think coaches freak out. I really, and rightfully so. I'm not criticizing them for that.
What time are the inactives?
If I was a coach, inactives was 6:30.
That's going to be so tough with four.
If I was a coach, I think this might be the hardest part of a coach's job. That's Casey Kurtz, Aaron Schachter along, as always here on ESPN 690. I really think it might be the hardest part of the job to navigate. You know, there's a lot of uncontrollables, and the job gets harder in certain circumstances, like if you lose four in a row or something like that. Like, I understand. But, I mean, the most difficult part laid out in the calendar of a year might be, like, three games usually, but the four games for this season. And especially one like this, where you just put the pads on last Sunday, but you don't know a lot about your team, and you have a lot of young guys that you really haven't seen. I think it really might be the most difficult thing Doug Peterson has to do this year.
Is choosing who he needs to see out there is what you're saying, yeah.
Well, figuring out, balancing choosing who he needs to see and who he doesn't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because even though he wasn't here last year, like, the ETN thing probably is in the back of his head. It's got to be. If you're the coach, like, that's worst case scenario. You can't let that happen again.
Sure.
Well, that's why he ruled him out, like, boom, nothing, right?
Our man.
Boom. Wasn't playing.
So, again, leadership
and that was
we need
absolutely because of that. Now, he did have an illness and he missed practice Tuesday as well. But they weren't playing ETN anyway. And ETN has looked fantastic in camp. So if ETN's looked fantastic in camp and you feel comfortable doing that, why can't you do that with more guys? Like, why do you need to see him out there? You've never seen Travis Etienne play a real NFL snap. Now, he played like 11 of them in the preseason. That was it.
Do you think he will play in the preseason at
yes.
all?
Okay. Yes. I do.
That's kind of sketch, though. You know? Like, I know it's like it's not likely, but it scares me, Brent. I'm not ready to be hurt again. You remember that day? We were all sitting here just dumbfounded and hurt. Like, I'm not ready for that again.
It left you with scars.
Tissue that runs deep.
Got it.
Well, but, I'm writing this on social media right now and engaging the fans. I think you would call that, Aaron, in the radio biz. And you bring up that question. You're like, should he play in the preseason? That's why I'm telling you Doug Peterson's job is very hard right now. Like this, and not just Doug. I mean, I think all the coaches have to wrestle with this. But let's just take the whole thing. If injuries weren't a factor, okay? If you never got hurt. Uh-huh. If this was more like baseball, where the injuries didn't happen as much.
Except for the Mets.
Except for the Mets. And by the way, that's probably a bad example because guys, like, blow out their arms, like, every other day. Yep. But anyway, if you didn't have to worry about injuries, these guys would play a lot in the preseason, like everybody. Because why? They would see this as valuable time to prep. Like, that's logical. valuable time to prep. Speed of the game, as you guys brought up. First time we get to see you in this setting. You get to work with your team. Like, even if it doesn't look great, at least you get the offensive line to communicate together. It's a new offensive line. Trevor gets to get used to guys like Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. Makes a lot of sense. You get to look at your defense, even though you'd be pretty vanilla. That'd be obvious because you don't want to give much away. But ideally, every coach would say, heck yeah, man, I'm going to use this extra game, and I'm going to get better than the rest of the league because we're going to get a leg up with a few more reps and more knowledge of our football team. But because of injuries, every question you ask, should X guy play, you pause. And that's exactly what just happened. We know he ends up playing for obvious reasons in this game, and I wouldn't play him either. But then when you ask the question, Casey, and you say, well, will Etienne even play in the preseason? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think he will. Like, I really do. But then you say, well, Brent, you got hurt the preseason last year. Like, you could talk me out of it.
Mm-hmm. When did the philosophy on preseason change? Because obviously it wasn't always like this, and it was actually recently that I think the philosophy was you basically play most of your starters for a couple of quarters, game one, and then two, you dial it back. Three, everyone plays for a half or so, and then game four is for the roster cut guys. When did that start to change? Because now nobody plays.
Yeah, Aaron, it's a good point. I think we're seeing a massive change over the last decade in how a lot of things are done. And to the point where I even said, let's just take the preseason games away for a moment and talk about the off-season schedule, the OTAs, the mini
activities,
camps, these everything else.
Volunteer
all this stuff. And everybody used to put, like, this premium on that. Oh, yeah, we're getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better. I think now, like, I don't think it is, like, factors into much at all. And I will think some coaches believe in it more than others. Doug Peterson let a football team that has won four games in the last 2 years combined and a brand-new roster, he let them go
early
for mandatory minicamp. Didn't even have it. And by the way, the Jags could have started, like, training camp 4 or 5 days earlier. Chose not to. But because they were playing in this game, they could have started even earlier. And what does that tell me? Tells me that Doug's like, listen, we don't need all the things that are in place. He's not a believer that all of that is necessary. And I think the players are on that side as well. So it really has changed there. But the best example of this, and also I would say in the 18-game and regular season discussions, that's now changed into 7. At one time we looked like we could be headed to 2 preseason games, but now it's 3. Like that shrink of games in the preseason, and I think that factored into some of the mindset of coaches and everything else. And then on top of it all, I'll give you the best example, and then I believe would have been like, I don't think it was last year's Rams. I think it was like 4 years ago Rams when they made the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. They didn't play a single starter the entire preseason.
And you think that convinced everybody?
And they were like, wait a minute. The Rams didn't play anybody, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if that's like the greatest example of it of any kind, right? Like it doesn't factor in. It doesn't matter. Now, I think things that change are, okay, are you young? Do you have holes on your roster? Do you have highly competitive spots that will make your roster? And this is a difference maker. There are certainly reasons to play. But you ask why the philosophical change, and I think those are some of the examples highlighted by the fact that the Rams went to a Super Bowl without playing a darn guy in any of the preseason games. And people are like, well, wait a minute now. If you don't have to do that, then what are we doing here? I'm not risking injury.
So it seems like after the last CBA, the effort was made on the side of the players to try and negotiate the preseason out. And they made some moves towards that, and they got some maybe more lax permissions when it comes to what's mandatory, what's not, what's voluntary, what's not. Teams are getting fined for making guys do. At what point, the clock is obviously ticking. At what point do we think the preseason just goes away? It can't be that far.
Well, it won't because of money. It won't because of money. It's still part of the season ticket package. I mean, listen, the Jags would have 7 home games without a preseason.
Well, weren't they negotiating 20 games in the last CBA, and then they backed away from that?
The early stages of it was 18-2. That's what the owners wanted.
Right.
They got to 17, man, and you cannot continue to preach player safety and say we want 20 games.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. And at 17, you got guys getting hurt all the time. So I just don't – I think this is the model. I don't think this model changes. And by the way, there is a I think it's important to have preseason games, like a couple at least, at the very least 2. One for your team to play in, get acclimated to the game situations. Like, if I was a coach, I'd want to run through all of this. Like, what do we do when we warm up? Here's when we take the bus from the hotel.
Like a dress rehearsal.
Here's how we do all those dress rehearsals.
Don't
stuff.
You think they but cover then, that with those joint practices now?
Well, nah, not really.
Not to the same
because
degree.
It happens at like, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think to that degree. I mean, I think maybe the intensity, yes. And that's why a lot of teams have gone to those. But I don't think like the actual habitual nature of here's how we do it.
Yeah.
And there are some things that you forget. Like, I think Urban Meyer lacked in that department a little bit. He didn't know how the NFL operated versus college, right?
Yeah.
In that sense, he needed people to help him do that. So I think a lot of rookies do, too. And I'll give you one other example. Here's why I think the game's important, at least two of them, if not more, is this is how these guys make the team. Like, this is how Benji Franklin says, hey, I just made a play every day in practice. Like, Benji Franklin is an important player out here tonight for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think. At least from his sake, he has a chance to now go do it under the lights. If Benji gets a pick on top of making a play every day in camp, how do you keep this cat off the team?
Yeah.
You know, so like this is their livelihood. This is their lifeblood of getting on a roster. It's not just what you do in camp. That's not enough.
It just seems
you have to be able to go make a play.
It seems to me that the players keep inching more and more towards keeping us out of danger until we have to step on the field and earn those paychecks.
And by the way, you have more coaches that, like Doug, have played the game. Or we have really flipped from that old school
mentality,
like the Coughlin, this is the way we used to do it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, what we've lived through it now, this has been a stark change in the mentality of how business is done in the NFL.
Super quick.
Over the last decade. One, because of the CBAs, as you mentioned. Two, because of the power of the player and the amount of money they make. Three, because of player safety. And four, because of the structure of the league now, 17 regular season games where the owners seem to get a little more greedy, and then three, preseason games. So I think there's a lot that's changed, and we've watched it, and that means the old school coach can't really do it the way he used to do it. He has to evolve with the time because of that. But this doesn't – it's not lost. I don't want to lose sight of the main point of this, though, is that I really think Doug Peterson's job right now is hard. You have a team that you really don't know much about. And if you play these guys, you really run the risk of injury before you take a real snap. And that, it's like, you can live with, you don't like any of it, okay? But I'll tell you this, losing Travis Etienne last year in the preseason, to me, stings a hell of a lot more than losing DJ Chark in week three.
Yeah, clearly.
Because DJ Chark was playing on a Thursday night in a game that mattered, and it sucked for him, and it sucked for the Jags, but at least it was the real bullet.
It was the real deal, yeah. You didn't waste it on a preseason game, yeah.
And injuries are a part of the game. I mean, we never got to see Etienne, who they spent a first-round pick, who could really be a difference maker for this team. And now we have no idea where he even fits this year because we saw him play like 11 snaps in the preseason and half the time he didn't even have the ball. Like, that is to me, like, if I was a coach, I'd be like, listen, I can handle an injury even though they stink. I can handle it in the regular season. I lose sleep at night with injuries in the preseason. And Doug's a player. He's a former player. I think he understands that. And that's why I just feel like without knowing him well enough and seeing what he's done to this point, I just feel like, man, he's going to err on the side of caution this entire preseason. I don't know how to answer your question, Casey. I think ETN will play. But would I be stunned if he continues to stack practices and they think he's that important to this offense, which I think he's pretty damn important too, that he doesn't play until week one? I'd be okay with that. I would not fault that. Get me to the regular season with my first-round pick from 2 years ago, because if the oh-my-gosh happened in the preseason, that would be a tough one to handle.
Yeah, me too. I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him or James, and then we'd have no idea how they want to use them together. And then, boom, week one, the Commanders are like, bro, what is this? They're both in the backfield, double pass, left. It'd be crazy. I'm excited. I wouldn't play either of them, though, for real.
We say that, and the most important player on this football team is Trevor Lawrence, but we just feel like, at least from an injury standpoint, those guys are more guarded, you know? There's a lot less contact. Yes, freaky things can happen, but it's okay to put Trevor out there for a bit.
I'll tell you what, I'm not playing Trevor if they don't play Cam and Shatley and Fortner and Sheriff and Walker Little.
And remember last year? Conversation.
What was it last year? Do you remember that game we've had? I think it was a COVID thing. You remember that we talked about should they play Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, yes. No, that was against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's right.
That was against the Patriots. And they considered it, you know.
Yeah,
They considered not playing Trevor. And by that time, obviously, the Jags, it was like December, and the Jags were way out of it anyway. Mm-hmm. But they considered not playing him because of that. And certainly you wouldn't do that to him in the preseason.
Like, and if you look would at never the score play from Trevor that game, behind this, you would think they didn't play that? Him.
I said, yeah. Well, by the way, they might have been better off not playing him in that game, Casey, because if there's any scar tissue from last year, I feel like that game has some of it. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has another of it. Mm-hmm. And probably Houston early in the year has some of it.
Yes.
Because literally of the amount of interceptions.
Yeah.
You know? He threw so many interceptions in those games, and he had a whole lot of I don't give a damn at the time he threw his fourth interception against New England. Because he was so frustrated.
Same with Tennessee.
So, yeah. Like, it might have actually been a better thing for him not to play in that game.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Like, I don't know what he gained from that game. But still, they
it's
went
good
with
to
him.
Have bad days, too, though. Learn how those feel.
Well, he had, like, yeah, six of them 14 before of them. Then, you know? I think he had 14 enough bad of
those.
Days.
Learned enough.
14 of those to learn from.
He learned how to lose in the cold, I guess, is what he established in that one.
That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll see. But probably spending too much time on it. I just think it's kind of fast. I think Doug's in a tough spot. And I would imagine he really leans. First of all, you have to have a philosophy here. You have to be committed to your philosophy, convicted about it. And then you have to lean on your coaching staff to say who we're comfortable with and who we're not. And sooner or later, you just got to go play. I mean, you can't help it, right? I mean, you got to play and you just keep your fingers crossed. Because a lot of this thing now, keep in mind, I've been very adamant about this over the years. A lot of this thing turning around in Jacksonville seriously does have to do with luck. You need Trevor to be healthy. You need other guys to be healthy. You need to hit on third-round draft picks. You need to make sure you hit on first-round draft picks. You need to make a free agent or two really work for you. Like, if you want to turn this around, you need some lady luck on your side. And you really can't do anything about that. You just kind of hope it happens. So we'll see who plays. Again, this was this conversation a little bit about tonight, but I think even more so about weeks 2 and 3. See, the fourth game against Atlanta is easy. You're going to practice for 2 days, and then you're probably not putting anybody out there. Like, you're not making the Luke Fortner bet with me on the last game, Casey.
No, he's sir. Definitely not playing, no, sir.
Right? So, but again, you come around that time, it's a very important game for guys like Benji Franklin.
I'll find somebody.
And who knows? Like, it could be a huge game for a guy like, as we talked about earlier, LaVisca Chenault. Like, if he's – is that the way he makes the team? Or Chaisson, does he play in that game because he needs to get some playing time? Mm-hmm. And he earns it that way. So it'll be fascinating to watch the preseason unveil itself. Let's take – oh, I got to get something real quick because I teased it already. Did you see Cody Bellinger's house?
Yes, I did see Cody Bellinger.
Did Aaron see it?
Yes, he did.
I took a quick peek. It looked pretty amazing.
Guys, that's sick. Like, did I see it right where he basically panned out of the garage and he had a runway with a private jet in it?
It's very Travolta-esque.
Yeah, it was Travolta. Yeah, I just had to walk outside and Cody's on the runway, which is extremely dangerous as well. But, yeah, Cody just a couple steps away from jetting off to wherever he wants to go. Anywhere other than a batting average over 220.
Is that all he's hitting?
No, bro. He's hitting 206.
Oof. Is that it?
Yikes. Yes.
What happened to him, huh?
He's
an MVP.
Yeah.
He's an MVP.
It's very odd. You know what I will give Cody Bellinger credit for is his house is sick, but two, he went from playing first base to center field. That's like the oddest transition
of
all
weird.
Time. And he's very good in center field. But, yeah, the batting's just, it's not there. But the house is sick, though. He won it with that MVP, or he bought it with that MVP money. Never have to get rid of it.
Maybe they only had him at first because he was a lefty.
Wow, true. Casey brought up a good point, too. Like, he's in the house, like, once, like, a month out of the year.
Yeah, it is not his L.A. residence. Yeah, it is his Arizona residence. So, spring training and maybe a couple weeks in the winter.
Yeah,
but,
don't sleep on Arizona as a vacation spot. I had a blast out there.
Hey, the story on Travolta real quick, he had a, what was it, Ocala?
Yeah.
Is that where he had it?
Ocala. He had a whole airport.
I think
though.
He sold it, though. I think he's done. I don't think he lives there anymore.
That's correct.
Oh, you had probably sat outside his house waiting for autographs, didn't you,
Dan? Him and Dan
I forgot
Levine.
About that.
Yeah.
No.
You got your little paddle, whatever, paddling plane. I don't even know what they would be called. Dropping in on the runway.
We'll coming down the glider.
Glider, that's what I was going for. We'll be back. Hey, what's happening from Canton, Ohio? Pro Football Hall of Fame week. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. Casey and Brian Middleton have Action Sports Jacks OT coming up 6 o'clock. Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. They still in first place, Casey?
Casey's not on mic because we have the IT guy standing, like, in his lap trying to fix the machine right there.
I see. He will know. But they're right around first place. If they're not in first place and heading down the stretch of the season, they'll be on ESPN 690 after Action Sports Jacks OT. We will be here from Canton as well tomorrow. We got a football game tonight, of course. Plenty of coverage in our 5 and 6 o'clock hours on CBS 47 and Fox 30. We have a news team here, Ben Ryan as well, and Stuart Weber. So team coverage coming up about the football game, but really about Tony Boselli and Leroy Butler going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll have some reaction tonight. We get to go in the locker room tonight and get some postgame. First time since 2019. Doug Peterson will meet the media after this one as well. And then our coverage picks up right again in the morning tomorrow for the next couple of days. We will have you covered all the way through.
Hey, just in case you were wondering, Jacksonville tied for first place with Durham, the Bulls, 56-45.
It's crazy. Like, again, I mean, standings are standings in minor league baseball, but when you're in the lead, it's kind of fun. Like, there's some juice there.
Oh, yeah.
And they've had a bunch of different things going on with guys going up to the big leagues and rehab assignments and all that. But they've done a nice job and really been pretty consistent overall. They've got themselves right in the mix. So that's a lot of fun, at least for those guys, as they head down the tail end of this minor league season. It can be daunting, but when you got something to play for down the stretch, that's nice. And it feels like they've been tied for the lead, like, every night for the last month.
It's been a great season for them. They've been up there the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true, but it feels like there's been multiple teams tied for first place, like, every day over the last month. Like, not just one team taking the lead and then the others catching up. Some pretty good stuff going on there in the International League as the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp in AAA.
We're making a big night out of it, too, man. We're going to bring the whole CMG Radio family out there.
I heard that.
Later on this
month. That's 2 weeks from tonight, actually.
Yeah, we're going out there. We're going to have a grand old time. We're all going to get out there early, have some delicious food out at the stadium, do a little team building, a little bonding. Of course, we'll be here on the radio. We won't be out there for the free baseball game. But
maybe we'll go live.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I told Casey, I was like, man, that'd be fun. Casey's looking at him.
Fun. We're not allowed to have fun.
Yeah, let's have fun.
So anyway, yeah, maybe we will go live at the shrimp game. That would be, what, the 18th?
Yeah, man, we'll get Casey to throw out the first pitch. He can show us that slider.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that'd be great.
Show us the four-seamer.
You know, I was looking at our feed, and I was like, we kind of look like a show, like, straight out of, like, the 60s or something.
How so?
Mostly because of Casey. Well, now, obviously, we're getting some engineering work.
Get some help done.
I mean, I've got, like, an American flag behind me. At least it's Ohio State flag, I think it is. It's an Ohio State flag, not an Ohio State Buckeyes flag, although that's behind me, too. And then we got, like, hippie boy with the bandana. And then, well, there's you. I don't know how you relate to this.
I just look like a normal person. I don't know what this 60s stuff is.
Like, I don't know, but it looks like this throwback on the feed. Like, what era is this from?
The garage definitely has, like, an old-school rustic feel to it with the wood and the cornhole stuff and the flags. Yeah.
Look at this. This is classic right here. So Stuart Weber is now leaving. He's pulling out of the driveway.
He's had enough.
And he's going to drop off the news crew over there at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they both went in the back seat.
How's that work? It's a self-driving car. Got a Tesla over there.
Stuart is literally chauffeuring these guys.
Lucky them.
That is funny. That was a funny scene. And it's not like a big car either, so they look like big men in a little car in the back seat.
Did anyone complain about the fridge when they got there? I know you were stocking it up with some garbage.
Nah, man, it was pretty good. Like, I think they're pretty happy. We got pizza last night.
From my last check, from the last check-in, I think we're at pizza, beer, and Munchies mix for Stuart. I think that was it.
Yes. and I've got toasty Cheez-Its.
Ooh, I like Cheez-Its. All right. You can get with that.
We have Swedish fish, and we've been snacking on gummy butterflies, not gummy bears or worms, but butterflies. We have he got some muffins, chocolate muffins, breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. We got some, like, what I call would lunch deli meat or something like that to make some sandwiches in a pinch. And so, yeah, we're doing pretty well, man. I mean, it's so nice. It is This is a great spot.
The chocolate chip muffin is like the undercover fat kid treat because it's muffin, right? So, like, everyone's like, muffin's not that bad. You have a bran muffin or a blueberry muffin. But you throw the chocolate chips in there, and it's basically dessert for breakfast.
Yeah, this thing does not look anything healthy, by the way.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't know this about me, but I don't like chocolate.
No. What are you, a communist?
That, like, I will say, like, that, like, there's a, like, I like milk chocolate. Like, I'll eat a candy bar.
Okay.
Like, I don't like the dark chocolate candy bars. Though.
Yeah, dark
like
chocolate's rough, man. Unless you're someone who thinks they're healthy and still trying to eat chocolate, which is nonsense. Yeah.
I'm back.
Like,
friend.
I really don't like, you know, like the chocolate frosted donuts. Like, I can do that.
Yeah.
But it can't be all chocolate, but like a little frosting on top, like, that's fine. I don't like, I hate chocolate ice cream and I hate chocolate cake.
What kind of ice cream are you eating?
I hate fudge, right? Hate fudge.
Amen.
And so. But so my point being is like I wouldn't touch these with a 10-foot pole. They are all chocolate,
the muffins,
with like some frosting on it, and they look so gross. You know when people like just die to look at like some chocolate dessert or something like that? I'm like, that looks so gross. Like, so, I wouldn't want to touch it.
So what is it that lights you up when it comes to dessert then, if not chocolate?
Not really. I'll be on, like, I would rather have gummy bears than I would like.
Okay, you're a candy guy. Okay,
I'm more of a candy guy than I am a dessert. Like, I don't. You wouldn't. I would. I've had dessert very few times in my life, ever, at like a restaurant, ever.
Well, I've made up those times for you, believe me.
But I would say, like, I'm a cheesecake guy. I like cheesecake.
Cheesecake?
Yeah, like, just throw some strawberries or something on there. That's cool.
Gosh.
I'm not like saying I love, like, a key lime pie. I can go that route. But very minimal. Like, again, I don't even care. Like, I don't crave that ever.
This is hurting
my
heart,
man. I'm not an ice cream guy. Don't really care about ice cream.
If you were to bring a chocolate molten lava cake from, like, one of these chains into this room, I would bathe in that thing. If it was still on fire, I'd still strip down and roll around in this thing.
And your four-year-old would say, that's gross.
Gross, Dad? And I would say, oh, this cake is delicious. I don't really care what you're saying.
Yeah, no, thank you. I was actually thinking of this. How about this? I get in these French fry cravings.
So you're like a savory guy. You like salty stuff.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think about it a lot. I'm just saying once in a while I'll go through these kicks where I'm like, I'm going to stop and get French fries even.
Wow.
But they got to be good. Like, I like Zaxby's fries.
Good fries.
I like that. You ever that All-American hot dog place down on beach?
Sure.
Love it. Fries there are awesome.
Good fries.
Great. And so I'm like, I like the crinkly fry ones usually.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just better, I think. But anyway, like, I'll stop and get them. So to the point of, I'd go more on a French fry kick than I would like an ice cream kick.
You know who's got the worst fries, in my opinion, not to start trashing some of these stores, but I can't take the steak fries. So like when I go to the Loop, I like the food at the Loop, but the fries I can't get with. I'm with you. Yeah. I like the crinkly fries, but I also like some of the thinner fries. I can get with a McDonald's fry, a nice little wimpy, soggy, salty McDonald's fry. I can get with that.
Yeah, if they're hot, like if they're right, I mean, McDonald's is really good if it's like fresh.
Yeah, you got a window. Like, it's a small window.
It's a small window. And it's, by the way, it's awesome when it's like window is right.
Yeah. I think
I'll have the filet of fish and it's like the best thing I've ever eaten.
Easy there, buddy.
Yeah. Easy bread.
No, filet of fish.
Crazy.
Oh, filet of fish right hot. Oh, man, it's so good. But filet of fish, like seven
Stop
minutes later, it.
It
is not good.
Stop
man.
It.
Casey, you got to go make a doctor appointment.
Stop it. You're overselling
you
the McFish, bro. It's not good if it's fresh.
It's not a McFish. It's
a
filet of
fish. It's a McFish. It's not good at any point.
By the way, the Burger King one ain't bad either.
No.
Right.
Listen, I'm a guy that gets hot dogs from the gas station and loves it.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, there's a
fine.
Gas station food is good. Then you got the McFish 7 minutes old. It's like death.
Yeah, I'm
you can't go 7 minutes old. I agree. You throw it out. Like, I'll throw it out.
Oh.
Well, you got money to throw out food. I don't. If I pay for the McFish, I'm eating it.
I grew up in New York. We used to see dirty water dogs from these vendors off the street, right? They never clean out the water. They're just soaking those dogs in the water. But they were delicious, right? So I can get with you on, like, a street dog. That's fine. But the filet of fish, I think, is where I draw the line.
By the way,
that is
you shouldn't have stopped eating them, and you wouldn't have got COVID like three times.
No.
I
mean,
it would have stopped everything. Yeah.
No.
They make you invincible.
You've built the immune system, man.
You also glow in the dark, but no big deal. No big deal. It's okay. Love me a dirty water dog. Man, back in the day, get a knish with some ketchup, some sauerkraut on that bad boy, and head up to second period. It was great.
Second period?
Yes, high school.
This was during school?
High school.
Second period had to be like 8 in the morning. What are you talking about? You got a hot dog of sauerkraut at 8 in the morning?
That wasn't a hot dog. It was a knish.
Hey, let's do a rapid fire NFC North. Green Bay Packers, can anybody catch them in the NFC North? How good are they without Devontae Adams? And Aaron Rodgers is I still think for my money I'd take Aaron Rodgers over anybody the way he's played the last couple years.
He's been making somebodies out of nobodies for over a decade.
Hey, quick question. Did we discuss this or did this just come out of left field? Because I'm so lost.
No, we just totally came out of left field. We were talking fries and ice cream, man.
Yeah, I didn't know if you talked about this while we were working on the computers in here.
No.
Rodgers, good. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, he's a good player. they were like 13-3, I think, the last couple of years. They've been disappointing late in the postseason. But are they that? I feel like they're still a team to beat. The Rams obviously are, but aren't they like, you would say Tampa, I get it, and you probably should. But they're in that mix, right? The trio of teams to beat.
It just feels like the Packers always have enough to get to the playoffs and never enough to really get over the hump in the playoffs.
I mean, they got Alan Lazard.
Yeah. Hall of Famer, yeah. Well, I mean, they still have a good offensive line. They still have a good, a great running back. They got that soft secondary. But, yeah, you got to wonder where Rodgers is going with the ball.
Lazard.
If you get one QB this season, isn't Rodgers the guy?
He might be like a 1A or a 1B. He's up there, though.
Well, I understand. I mean, I'm asking you to make a freaking decision.
No.
The answer is no.
I wouldn't pick him.
No.
Really? See, I would.
I'd go Josh Allen.
Who are you taking?
I'd
you
go
take
Josh
Mahomes?
Allen.
Nope. Or Josh Allen?
I would go
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
At some point, that's got to stop, right?
Okay, Max Kellerman, but it's not today. It's not today. Give me Tom Brady. Yeah,
it's like 46 or whatever.
45. He just had a birthday.
Here's the difference to that story. Now, what happened? Who'd the Packers lose to last year? Was it the Bucs?
No, those were the 49ers. Jimmy G.
Oh, they lost to the 49ers. I got a short memory, man.
You and Aaron.
The bottom line is Tom's been obviously surrounded with a lot of good players. Tom couldn't do, I don't think at this stage of his career, what Rodgers did with Green Bay the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yes. Tom's not taking a team of nobodies and going deep into the playoffs at this point.
I don't think. He's done it in the past, by the way.
Tom literally made nobody's Hall of Famers, but continue.
In his prime, with a great defense and a Hall of Fame, maybe the best coach of all time.
Did they not come back down 28-3 with literally Gronk and Edelman?
But Aaron Rodgers is playing with this pissiness, with this confidence, with the game so slow, and he's still got this rocket arm and talent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, again, I take him, guys. I think if I could pick the number one quarterback, you put him on any team, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he's great. I'm not trying to debate that.
I get it. It's debatable.
If you're picking any guy, I'm picking a guy who still's got legs. I don't think Rodgers has the legs he used to. Not that he was ever a rushing quarterback, but he got out of the pocket. He'd roll out to the sidelines and, I mean, Allen is certainly looking better from an age perspective. He's got a strong arm. He's been deadly accurate at least the last year. I don't see how you don't take Allen at this point.
So can anybody clip the Packers? Can Minnesota do it?
No.
They got a shot. I think they got a better roster than the Packers. It's just a question of whether Kirk Cousins can lead the team better than Aaron Rodgers can lead a team.
That's an interesting point. So you just said that you think they might have a better players if you match them up.
I do.
And they have, by the way, Kevin O'Connell walks into a fantastic situation. But wasn't that whole thing odd? Like, how much confidence do you have in Kevin O'Connell, even though he does walk into this great situation? New GM, new head coach. I'll tell you what, if there's going to be a year for it, this could be the year between Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, all these other moves made, and Cousins still gets it done. This could be the year they pass them by. Did they make the playoffs?
I think it's a good question. I don't understand what's happening in Minnesota when it comes to Kirk Cousins. Do they like him or do they not like him in that franchise?
I think he's just got, like, he's just one of those guys that's easy to not like.
Well, he was hated by his last coach. His last coach talked so much trash about him.
Yeah, I think he's super underrated, to be honest with you. I think he's been really good. And he just has to find – if he could win, he's the new Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
And by the way, Matthew Stafford's had a more prolific career, better quarterback, all right? Don't get me wrong, overall. But still, isn't he that guy? Like, Casey, does Kirk Cousins go to a new echelon given the numbers if he even gets him to, like, an NFC championship game?
Probably. Well, yeah, probably. I'd say so.
Yeah, I think so.
I like Kirk. He's underrated. It's just criminal what you two sit here and do after yesterday first time, or not first time, new head coach for the Bucks. That was a problem. They can't be as good with the new head coach. And now Kevin O'Connell's walking into a great situation. It's disgusting what
I just said the biggest question mark is their coach. Listen.
And it's not just any new head coach in Tampa. It's one I am very familiar with in Todd Bowles, who I watched dismantle my winning New York Jets team.
It's just gross what you tried to do.
Did you see the Chicago Bears practice that Clay Harbor tweeted out the other day? Did you see all the drops and stuff?
I can promise you there's 85 different things I'd watch than Chicago Bears practice. I think the Bears are the worst team in the league, and we'll have the first pick in the draft.
Well, start following Clay Harbor, and this is maybe just a little teaser for the rest of you. Start following Clay Harbor. But he was at Chicago Bears camp, and I saw him tweet like five passes. Go back and look at it. It's I've watched a lot of Jags, and I know the Jags have not been great. I've never seen a Jags practice look like that. And, I mean, it was wild. So, the crazy thing about the NFC North, the Lions or the Bears, does anybody take a significant step?
If they do, it's going to be the Lions, right?
Like seven wins, you know?
I don't think that's happening for them. I mean, there's not a lot to look forward to in Detroit. Less, even, I think, when it comes to Chicago, but... Nah. I mean, what are you excited about in Detroit right now?
What are you talking about?
Aside from your new wide receiver who won't play for the first couple of months.
They're not the worst team in the division anymore. They'll finish in front of the Bears.
By default, though, it's not like they took a gigantic step forward here. They just watched the Bears slide behind them.
Their roster's not horrible. Jameson Williams isn't going to play, but you got DJ Chark. You could be excited for that. You got running backs. If DeAndre Swift is healthy, he's going to be good. They just drafted their hometown man, Aiden Hutchinson. There's a lot to be excited about. And they play inside. It's air conditioned.
is more important out there in Detroit, but I get you.
Freddie T was up there talking with Mark Brunello. Obviously, he's on that staff. Todd Walsh is on that staff as well. All right, we take a break. I do have a question about the Jags relative to some of those teams you just mentioned when we come back. Action Sports Jacks on ESPN at 690 live from Canton, Ohio. Pro Football Hall of Fame week. We got a game tonight, Jags and Raiders, and we've got an induction on Saturday.
The biggest thing that stands out to me about all of this is in her ruling that was surprising to you and I both, but in her ruling, she made it clear that part of the reason she ruled the way she did was because the NFL has not punished for these things properly in the past, and they have not punished their owners properly. So part of what I'm interested to see is at what point does Roger Goodell admit their own culpability in the fact that it was only a six-game? It was only a six-game suspension because they've never handled this the right way in the past.
Is that my guy, Jason Fitz?
It was.
Let me some Jason Fitz. We can get him on. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. Heading into the 5 o'clock hour, football at 5 from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We are in Canton, Ohio. All right, we've got a... ran heavy with that NFC North fun. I got this question for you guys as we're talking about two teams that aren't that good, and I'm a big measuring stick guy. I think that's important for this organization. And so you bring up teams like the Jets, the Giants, the Bears, the Texans, the Lions. Who else are some of the bottom feeders? Is that about it? Anybody I'm missing? Maybe Atlanta.
Would you put the Texans in there?
I did.
All right. That's about it.
So I guess my point is that a satisfying season if the Jags are better than those teams I just mentioned?
Well, they definitely have to. Like, you don't want to be worse than those teams with all the hope you're going into. You want to – I think the goal here is middle of the pack, right? That's a substantial step forward, yeah.
But what I would call it is escape the basement season, you know? Like it would feel like something of an accomplishment – to separate a little bit from those teams that are often mentioned, and the Jags have been in that conversation. So, like, again, I'm not saying this is this great throw a parade kind of thing, but it might be a somewhat moral victory going in the right direction. That's a big step. If you, like, you've got to be ahead of the Texans, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got to be, I always think the parallel of your team, the Jets, is an important one here. I really do. Like, I think that's a big deal. And you throw the Lions and the Bears who are trying to do the same thing and also drafted, like, a quarterback in Justin Fields. That's a big thing. The Giants have looked like a mess. You don't want to look like a mess. Now, the Giants could take a big step if, like, Daniel Jones is really good. Who knows? One of those teams might take a bigger step. But a lot of those rosters are pretty, like, not that good.
No, they're weak.
Right?
They're weak.
So, and so I the tell Jets you, could easily be better than them.
But for years as a Jets fan, because it's been so bad, moral victories become a very real thing. You know, you just mentioned it earlier with moral victories not being in the basement. So, yeah, is it disappointing to you, Jags fan, if the season ends with four wins? Yes, right? But is it as disappointing if you're not in last place with those four wins? Maybe just a little bit less disappointing, but you still wanted to see a bigger step forward.
Yeah. I think there's something to being separated from them. And then can you catch others, right? Like, can you catch – and I don't know if Atlanta's really been in the category like where the Lions and Jags and Texans kind of are right now.
I think they will be this year, though.
They could be, right? They certainly could be. Oh, by the way, I'll throw another team, like Seattle. So, like, I start naming these teams, the Jets, the Giants, the Lions, the Bears, the Texans, the Falcons, the Seahawks. Well, those are seven teams. Now you're picking eight. Okay?
Like, I see what I think you're doing here, right? Yeah, sure.
I think that's significant. I think get out of the top five. I really think significant if you can get out of the top ten. So maybe somebody's going to have a bad year. Maybe somebody gets hit by the injury bug and it's let's just say, I don't know, Miami or something like that, all right? And they don't do as well. And, I mean, even if you got to however many wins, you might start surpassing teams like the Steelers.
You find yourself in 10th pick territory.
And with the Browns quarterback situation, who knows what goes on there? So, like, I'm just saying, can you start taking away at some of those teams and put you up the ladder? This is a climb now, and it's not going to be a big, big leap. But that might feel like one. You went from the number one pick. Can you go to, like, the 12th pick?
Yeah.
Again, that would feel
significant, yes. But still, wouldn't it feel like a giant waste if getting to the 12th pick meant you were, I don't know, 6-11?
Well, I don't know about a giant waste. Six wins is pretty significant.
You're right. Six wins is significant. You're right.
Now, seven would better. Six doesn't feel that great. No, seriously. I think there's a huge line there.
But to your
six
point,
doesn't feel great. Seven feels pretty good, to be honest. And eight feels like, wow, this is going in a good place.
But six isn't a total disaster coming off of, you know, three last year.
No, like, it'd be great to put, like, emoji faces next to six, seven, and eight wins. But, like, five is uncalled for. Like, five can't happen. Four can't happen. Three can't happen. Two can't happen. One can't happen.
Yeah.
Six, seven, eight's the window. And I think there's way different emojis for each set of wins. So we'll see what the Jaguars can do. We got football at five. We're live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Canton, Ohio, just right over there as we football game tonight. Let's talk more about the game, and we'll check out what else is happening. What about from the Raiders' point of view? This is cool. There's a cool story with the Raiders that we'll talk about a little bit at football at five next on ESPN 690.